court appointed is meant to be for entertainment purposes and basic legal information only.
Nothing in this podcast should be considered as legal representation nor legal advice.
Only use the knowledge presented herein to dazzle your friends or possibly win bar trivia. Dude's perspective on legal frivolity. I'm your co-host, Mike Meadows. I'm a lawyer and a dude.
And I'm your other co-host, Tommy Swirl. And I am just a dude.
What's up?
It's like deja vu all over again, in the words of Yogi Bear.
Yogi Bear.
When you come to a fork in the road, take it.
Wasn't he the Yankee third baseman?
He was a catcher, I believe. But he was mostly known as a coach. But he was a player before he was a coach, Yogi Bear.
Yeah.
And he had many a colorful saying.
Not all of them made sense, though, is my understanding.
He was driving a buddy to some kind of banquet or something that they were invited to. And the guy said, I don't recognize these streets you're on. And Yogi said, yeah, we're lost. And he said, we're lost? Really? And he goes, yeah, but don't worry, we're making good time. He was full of colorful sayings.
Well, this actual podcast is not about sports. It's about NDAs.
NBA? I love the NBA. I watched the funny little trivia thing there for you. Do you know who is the logo of the NBA? Who's on the logo?
Who's that?
It's Jerry West.
Jerry West, huh?
Jerry West. He's a famous player in the NBA from West Virginia.
That's right.
We'll forgive the fact he went to WVU. But,
well, yeah.
But he was from West Virginia. He was known at the time as Zeke from Cabin Creek.
He is. He's the logo for the NBA. So there's your trivia for the day.
That's right.
Well,
Zeke from Cabin Creek. He was born in Cabin Creek, West Virginia, and then went on to fame in the NBA, mostly with the Los Angeles Lakers.
But I didn't say NBA.
Oh, well, I know a lot about the NBA.
I'm sure you do. I said NDA. Like
NDA?
Yes, like non-disclosure agreement.
Oh, well, I'm not familiar with that.
Well, if you were, would you be able to talk about it?
No. That's why I said, whether I am or not, I will remain mute, and the point will remain moot.
The point guard will remain moot. So today's topic is non-disclosure agreements. These are sometimes known as confidentiality agreements or secrecy agreements in different terms. I've never actually heard that one before. I just saw that in some of the research. Secrecy agreement sounds very, bad.
They're keep your mouth shut agreements.
There you basically. Go. That's if you want to describe exactly what it is.
And you see a lot about them in the news these days because of all of our president's little fiascos or trysts or whatever you want to call them there. And he seems to have these things following him around.
The one big fiasco was Stormy Daniels.
Stormy Daniels. Well, then there's that other one, the Playboy Playmate. It was like Susan McDougal or something like that.
I think so, yeah. And evidently, Donald Trump had them when he settled with them, or allegedly settled with them, or Michael Cohen settled with them. We're not really sure exactly what took place. I think we can probably agree that even if Michael Cohen did settle with them, it was at the behest of his client, probably the Donald.
Yeah.
But
at least when Rudy Giuliani gets done with it, who knows what happened?
Yeah, the truth is not always the truth. Whatever that means.
Well, what your definition of is.
Whatever. But they were supposedly had signed these NDAs or non-disclosure agreements. And essentially what these are basically like a legal contract between two parties that sort of outlines some confidential information and basically limits how either party is allowed to disclose that to third parties. So it's kind of like a keep quiet contract in layman's terms.
Very much keep quiet contract.
These were also kind of, I think, prevalent. You heard a lot of them during the whole Me Too movement, talking about different people with Hollywood and things like that, where they were forced to sign different kinds of non-disclosure agreements with.
And they paid off some of the people that they abused, and then had them sign one of those so they couldn't talk about it.
Exactly. They're very kind of, they get kind of a sordid type reputation for them, because really what you're doing is you're kind of putting a chilling impression on somebody's free speech. You're basically saying, I'm paying you not to talk about this.
Well, it's just like what they say. Every man has his cost. Some are just cheaper than others.
And so basically what it does, it creates kind of a confidential relationship between the parties to protect that confidential information. It's not always a bad thing. I mean, sometimes it can be kind of proprietary information. And actually, I've done, I wouldn't say a lot of NDAs, but you know, a handful of them. But it's never been for anything like that has to do with basically a lawsuit. It's usually kind of a proactive kind of thing for an employer or an employee. And I think that's usually where you run into these in the real world on your daily basis.
Well, the other one that I can think of that is not really nefarious, and I can see a very good reason for it, is like when two companies are entertaining merging with each other or one buying out the other company. They a lot of times have to exchange customer and financial information. And then there's the possibility that the merger or the acquisition or whatever doesn't go through. So you sign these NDAs so that nobody can go out and say, steal your customers or tell everybody, hey, this guy's struggling financially or something like that.
Yeah, absolutely. And especially, too, for publicly traded companies. I mean, if that information gets out in the stock market, it could affect their stock prices.
Right.
I worked...
Elon Musk. He's gotten in trouble with some of that lately. Have you seen that?
I haven't. What?
Well, he put out this thing. He said this one statement about something that was going to happen and that they had the financing in place to take the company private or something like that. And he didn't have the financing in place and his stock shot up. So then he turns around a few days later and says, well, I may have misspoke on that. And by then people had cashed in on the stock being up. So he's being looked at for manipulating the stock market.
Really?
Yeah.
I guess I'm not sure what the charge would be for that, but I imagine would have to prove some sort of intent for him to do it on purpose rather than just kind of misspeaking about something.
Well, I mean, you know, he's got a lot of people that are listening to him, so, you know.
He's like E.F. Hutton.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, if I went out there and said, well, Tri-Data's going to do this or that, I don't think we'd have our stock wouldn't go up that much.
Boy, that Tri-Data, they're really going Ooh, places.
There's some more boxes coming in there. 10 new boxes. We better go buy some of that. That's 32 cents a month.
That's funny. Yeah, I guess that was kind of similar to the insider trading type thing when we talked about that. They have to show that the person had some sort of intent, I think, whenever they did that, which is generally a pretty hard thing to do, to jump into somebody's brain and kind of figure out what's going on. We're not like in a Minority Report type situation just yet. So.
Well, and then you had a professional football player that has just been charged with insider trading. They were hooked up with one of the producers from Black-ish, the TV show.
Mm-hmm.
That they had done some kind of insider trading, gotten information from a person that in the know on something. So there's a lot of that goes on.
Now, to get back to NDAs.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Yeah,
you got back to sports somehow, though. I don't know how.
The way around.
Usually, employees are the ones who sign these NDAs or some sort of NDA verbiage in an employment agreement. A lot of them actually aren't separate, freestanding type documents, but rather they're clauses which are kind of incorporated into an employment agreement. And that's a lot of times how you see them. They can also happen too whenever somebody is ending their employment with someone. That's probably the most common place you see them, is whenever they're leaving a company, there's some sort of severance package that somebody gets, and then they're forced to sign an NDA, which basically means, hey, we're not going to disclose any of the information we learned while we were at X company. Now that we're no longer there.
And that's different from a non-compete.
It is. But when you talk about an NDA, they kind of do go hand in hand with a non-compete. And to talk about what a non-compete is, basically a non-compete clause or a covenant not to compete is essentially a clause where there's one party, which is usually the employee, who basically agrees not to enter into or start similar profession or trade in competition against their former employer. Now, that happens a lot of times, too, when somebody sells a company as well. They'll sell, like, say, if you wanted to sell Tri-Data, you sell it to somebody, but you would sign a covenant not to compete. I'm not going to go open up any other data storage company in the area, because essentially what you could do is you could sell them your company, go
around and open another and get all my customers back.
Exactly, because they know you. They're happy with you.
Leave them with nothing.
Allegedly, they're happy with you. Maybe. I don't know.
We covered a lot of that in our non-compete one that we did.
Yeah, our episode on non-compete.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's kind of hard to talk about NDAs and not go into non-competes a little bit, because they're kind of generally doing the same things in a lot of instances. They're protecting a company from any kind of information getting out or things along those lines.
Yeah, because if somebody goes leaves your company and goes to work for somebody else right away, then they could siphon off customers from you.
Now, the interesting thing about NDAs is they are essentially a contract. And one thing that all contracts have in common is that they cannot be enforced if the contracted activities are felonies. So, for example, if you sign some sort of NDA and you were trying to cover up a crime or saying you won't tell the authorities about it or saying that basically you'll lie to authorities or something along those lines, that would be completely unenforceable because it would essentially be an illegal contract. And you can't have illegal contracts. That's one of the hallmarks of our country.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
That was one of the things that was being argued on the Facebook page about whether the NDA with Stormy Daniels was legal or not. Not because it asked her to keep quiet, but the funding, the way it arose, was basically, it looks like it violates campaign finance laws.
Right. If the payment came directly from, like, Trump's campaign money, then yeah, I think that would be a kind of a no-brainer. But the question becomes then is, does that invalidate the contract?
If it's illegal the way that it's performed? I mean, if you paid for it with illegal money, does that not null and void it? I mean, that's the question that we're having. Sure, it's legal to pay somebody to keep quiet. But if you're using gains that are ill-gotten,
right,
is that okay? Or does that make it illegal because you illegally siphon that money off? And see, even if it came out of his own pocket, what they're saying is if he was in the middle of a campaign, that was to help his campaign. Therefore, it was a donation and it went unreported.
Right. Now, I think that could be something that could be held against him. But I don't know that necessarily invalidates the agreement, because basically Stormy Daniels is still getting what she agreed to for that. She's still getting that money. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, but it's the fruit of the poisonous tree or whatever there, something like that.
No, I don't think that really applies here.
That's what I see it as.
Well, there's another, then, I mean, I guess essentially she could say this agreement is void ab initio, and therefore, here's your money back. We have no agreement.
Yes, we have no agreement. We have no agreement today. Ab initio!
But I think the key portion of that was she would have to return that money, and you'd have to make that argument that the agreement basically never existed because it was an illegal contract to begin with. Because an illegal contract is essentially, it can't happen, so therefore it would never exist.
One other thing I read that struck me as unusual, it said that when, you know, she was paid $130,000 for her silence.
$130,000?
Uh-huh.
That's it?
That's it.
I thought that was like $340,000.
No, I think it was just $130,000 was the payment that she got. I mean, that's what I say. Every man has his price. Some are just cheaper than others.
That's pretty cheap.
I know. But that when she turned around and started talking about talking, they said they were going to sue her for $20 million.
Right.
Well, they said that would make the agreement unconscionable because you weigh into it what you paid as to what you're protecting, and that you couldn't expect reasonably to get $20 million back when they only paid them $130,000. Now, I don't know if that weighs into something or not.
Well, it could. I mean, I guess you could make that argument that
it's unconscionable, such a fee.
I don't know. I think that's just kind of a bad deal for her if she did that. You know what I mean?
Didn't specify in the contract how much she would have to pay. I don't think.
Well,
I've never seen it because we don't know it exists because she can't acknowledge it. It's just that it might be there.
Yeah. A lot of time what these agreements have in there is what's called a liquidated damages clause. And have you ever heard that term before?
Well, I've heard of liquidation sales. Everything must go.
Well, a liquidated damage clause basically is something in a contract which has language substantially in the form of something like this. Let's see if I can just dictate this off the top of my head here. It is mutually understood between the parties that should either party breach this agreement, that damages would be hard to ascertain. Therefore, as a reasonable expectation of damages per day will be $1,000 per day. So basically you're saying, you know what? We're not going to be able to figure out exactly what the damages are going to be for this contract because it's hard to figure it out. But nonetheless, we're going to say it's $1,000 per day. And so every day that you breach that NDA, you can say, Well, then I'm entitled to $1,000 a day for it. So I think a lot of times clause, they might have some sort of clause in there, especially if it's a standalone document. An NDA might have verbiage like that in it. If it's an NDA that's in an employment agreement, it's not going to have something in there usually. It's just more like kind of a simple paragraph. But if it's a complete document that is like that, it's probably going to have something in there talking about how damages are difficult to forecast, and therefore we're going to go ahead and say that this is a, the parties agree that this is a reasonable expectation of what the damages might be, or something along those lines. And that would be called a liquidated damages clause.
We don't know how much it's going to cost you, but you better bend over.
She may have been doing that anyway. I don't know. Sorry, that's my one porn star joke. But yeah, so I don't know that you make the argument that it's unconscionable necessarily, and I don't necessarily know that you make the argument that it's an illegal contract. I mean, I think it's probably valid. I don't know. I mean, it's essentially, I threatened to sue you, I guess is how it was couched, and then basically in lieu of a lawsuit, you paid somebody some money and they agreed not to sue you and not to talk about it. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I think that's probably a fair contract, whether you like the guy or not. I mean, I'm not going to throw him under the bus for that. Maybe some other things, but not that. So now whether or not she should go ahead and talk, I mean, think about that. If you were given $130,000 and you could possibly rescind the contract, give the $130,000 back, and then write a book about it and make $15 million for telling your story, I think I'd probably advise her to do that.
Well, sure, but I don't think at this point they'd take the money back.
Right.
They wouldn't consider that a fair trade.
Probably not. Not at this point.
But here's the thing. We all know that it happened. She doesn't even have to talk.
Yeah.
There's been enough talk about it. We don't need the details. Nobody wants to hear the details. Please keep the details private.
Maybe she should write a book and call it If I Did It.
Yeah, like OJ, huh?
Yeah.
If I did it, this is what it would have been.
If I did sleep with President Trump, this is how bad it would have been.
He had little tiny baby hands.
But they were very soft. And orange. So I don't know.
When we finished, it looked like I was a Cheeto.
To get back about NDAs generally, there's different kinds. You can have a unilateral where one person agrees to keep quiet. This is usually the kind you see most often because it's one party agreeing not to disclose about the other party. Because the one party who's requiring the NDA, for the most part, usually they're not going to talk about it because they're trying to keep it under wraps.
Right.
Same thing with employers. If they're having a former employee sign one, it's going to be the same way. Now, when it might be bilateral, which means both parties sign, it would be like a merger, like you had said. That's when both parties agree, like, hey, we're going to exchange information. We agree not to disclose this information to anybody else. So that would be an example of a bilateral one. And then there's also multilateral, which would mean that it's basically among a bunch of different parties. So, for example, if you know you have a merger going on and both the primary companies sign it, and then also in furtherance of that, all their subcontractors, they might get information from them or subsidiaries or things like that. I mean, you could have a bunch of parties who are signatories to some sort of NDA to keep everything confidential. Mm-hmm. So they can get a little bit complicated. Usually, like I said, the most often one you would see would be a unilateral one because there's one party asking the other party to keep quiet. And you see this a lot of times too with lawsuits. Their confidentiality clause would be part of the agreement to settle it, because if they settle out of court, they don't want the other party blabbing about, hey, guess how much money I got from so-and-so. You see this a lot with hospitals and medical malpractice. That's where the main reason where you see these kinds of super confidential settlement agreements and things like that.
Yeah, non-disclosed settlement.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You don't tell them how much, or nobody's admitting guilt or anything else.
Yeah, it almost always goes with some sort of medical malpractice or nursing home abuse or things like that. You always see it. Auto accident cases, hardly ever see it. Insurance companies, and they don't really care too much about it. So now the one other thing that was in the news here recently, I thought was kind of interesting. There was, I guess, Argento. She is the Italian director, and she was one of the kind of the founders or the outspoken people regarding the Me Too movement and Harvey Weinstein. Well, recently it came out that there was some 17-year-old boy that she allegedly has some sort of inappropriate relationship with, and evidently he had a lawyer who threatened to sue her, and there was a settlement paid to him for basically foregoing any lawsuit.
She blamed the payment on Anthony Bourdain trying to protect her.
Yeah.
That he made the payment, and he's not alive still to defend himself.
Yeah. Seems like an easy person to point the finger at.
Yeah, I know.
Now, the reason I bring this up is not necessarily to really talk about the whole whatever that took place, but the interesting thing about that is that there was no NDA signed as part of the settlement or any confidentiality as part of that settlement. Rather, it was basically just a release that was signed, where the underage child basically, well, he's of age now, but basically he agreed not to sue her. He basically signed away his rights to sue her in court, not giving away his right to talk about it, which is in turn is what happened.
But it's still, she still could have been charged for it though, right? I mean, because if that became public knowledge and she had sex with a minor, then she could be charged with child abuse or whatever that comes under, statutory rape or something like that.
Well, and again, the reason why there was no NDA might go back to what we were talking about earlier, because if there was an NDA and it was trying to keep him from talking about some sort of criminal activity that she took place,
you can't do that.
It could be illegal.
Right.
And it could be worse if you were trying to do that. So I think maybe they looked at it and said, hey, you know what? We can't keep him quiet on this because the thing we're trying to keep quiet was an illegal act. So if we try to keep it quiet, it's going to be worse for us if it gets found out. So our best bet is to just pay him off, not require it, and keep our fingers crossed. So I don't think there was any kind of altruistic approach by her saying,
if you want to talk about it, go ahead, but here's some money just to ease your mind.
Yeah, I think there may have been some other kind of more legally thought out issues with regards to it. Now, I don't know. I mean, that would be my take on it. I think if it does get out, it'd be worse if you showed that you're trying to cover it up, if it was actually a felony or a crime like that. So
true.
But anyway, I think that was kind of an interesting difference there, because you think about it, there's a release and you're basically releasing your rights to sue, or getting a release from somebody they're not going to sue you, but you might not necessarily get some sort of,
you can't get a release for a criminal case.
Right. So, and again, the kind of release goes oftentimes with car wreck cases when you see things like that, or simple negligence cases. They don't really care too much about anybody saying, hey, I settled this case with so-and-so for X amount of dollars. They don't really care too much. When you get into people's reputation and things like that, then it gets a bit more quiet.
He says, please release me, let me go.
Now, some common things that will be in the NDA. So if you're drafting an NDA, this is what you're going to have. You want to basically state who the parties are to the agreement, right?
Right.
That's kind of
who's involved.
No-brainer. You want to define exactly what it is that's going to be confidential. You want to lay it out pretty specifically. You don't want to leave it too broad, because then it's not going to make any sense, but you don't want to have it too narrow either. So you want to make it very...
You can't even admit that you work for us.
Yeah.
Anybody asked, you're unemployed.
Your name is Mud. I don't know where that came from, but
Harry Mud.
Any kind of period that this takes place, is it going to be indefinite? Can you not talk about it indefinitely, or is it going to be for, say, 10 years? Because after 10 years, it won't matter. So
it remains in place forever. If you're a secret agent.
And then also, basically, how it's going to be kept confidential through, you know, you're not going to talk about it. Email, you're not going to talk about it on TV, you're not going to talk about it, interviews, things like that. Basically, the way you're restricted from disseminating the information. And I think with that one, you can probably be pretty broad. You could say any and all dissemination of this kind of information, which was previously laid out in subsection 2.
The only place you can release any of it is on the Jerry Springer show, because nobody believes any of that crap anyway.
Yeah, you can put it in the National Enquirer, because nobody believes that crap. And nobody buys it, they just look at it. Does anybody buy the National Enquirer?
I guess. They put it right up there where you're checking out at the grocery store. So you see it and you say, oh, look, Jennifer Aniston and Brad Pitt are running off together. Oh, I got to read this story. And then you grab it and take it home, and it's just a bunch of supposition. It's not a real story.
Yeah. Now, some other things in there might be the fact that the parties agree to injunctive relief, meaning that if somebody breaks the agreement, then they can run off to court and the court can stop them from doing it, because there might be some sort of irreparable harm if that information got out. Because a lot of times, once you let the cat out of the bag,
can't put it back in.
Exactly.
Because cats don't like being put back in the bag.
It's like trying to put cheese back in the Cheese Whiz canister.
That's hard too, or toothpaste back in the tube.
I like cheese.
I'm not a big Cheese Whiz. It sounds like somebody's peeing cheese.
Cheese Whiz.
I got to take a Cheese Whiz.
The other thing you want to put in there, of course, too, is, and this is kind of more your boilerplate type contract stuff, you want to put in there the venue for the NDA, which laws govern it, because different states have different laws which govern these things, and also whichever court's going to have jurisdiction over it. And also probably a good old-fashioned attorney's fees clause in there, that if you break it, then you're going to get hit for attorney's fees as well as any kind of other possible relief that might be out there.
Well, shouldn't you put some kind of minimum penalty in there, something like that? Penalty will be not less than that, and will also include further damages arising from, you know, the information or how long you do it or something like that. I mean, I would think they ought to put in some kind of baseline what you're looking at.
Well, you can, but that's a double-edged sword, because say you put that in the agreement that say damages are going to be capped at,
start at.
Well, you could say start.
A minimum.
But I mean, what's your basis for that minimum?
Well, you want to scare the person from saying anything. So you want to put a figure on there where they're going to really think about it. And then you say, and not only that, depending on what it is and how you go about it, it may be more. And we'll put the attorney fees, because that'll probably be more than whatever the penalty is anyway.
Hopefully. No,
let it rain.
The fact that you put a number in there is probably not going to hold up, because that number is going to have to be based off of something. And that's just kind of general contract.
I like that number. I'm the president, and that's my favorite number.
If you breach this contract, you shall owe me $1 million.
$1 trillion.
Yeah, that's not going to hold up.
A million, gazillion, dajillion.
Because that million's not going to be based off of anything.
It's going to be based off of a number I'd like to get if you open your mouth.
But you can't really just throw that in there. That's why you have to have something called, like I said, a liquidated damages clause.
If you got a good lawyer, you can throw it in there.
No, if you have a bad lawyer, you can throw it in there, because it's not going to hold up. I mean, I'll tell you what, I have clients that come to me all the time, and not all the time, but a lot of times, and say, I want this in there. And say, I don't think you should put that in there. And oftentimes they're like, well, you know what? I'm paying you to do this for me, so I'm going to listen to you. But then you have some that say,
I'm paying you to do this for me. Do it anyway.
I'm paying you to write out what I want in there. Just put your name on it, lawyer monkey. And I'm like, okay, that'll be 15 bananas. I don't care. I told you, you dumb person.
I saw one in the news the other day. That's an attorney you and I both know, but I won't mention that. Recused himself or removed himself as somebody's representative.
Oh, I saw that, yeah.
Because the guy would not listen to him, and he wouldn't take a plea deal that he wanted. And I think, you know, what I read into it from our discussion on other podcasts, is not other podcasts, but other episodes of this podcast.
Yeah, I don't want to get in trouble.
Let me clarify that, is that the guy was probably going to perjure himself. And so he said, look, you know, I'm not going to get up there and help you do that. So either you're going to do this or I'm going to have to leave. And the guy wouldn't go along with him. So he wanted to remove himself as his lawyer.
That could have been one explanation for it. The other explanation is that it was going to be something that the attorney didn't want to do, maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. Well, that's what I mean. But I mean, after doing that before, I wouldn't have thought anything about that. Well, now, after doing this podcast, then I read those things and I start reading things into them.
Well, you can't make a client take a plea deal or any right. kind of settlement.
Oh, yeah.
Now, all you can do is you can advise them and say, hey, I strongly advise you to do this. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, if they don't want to do it, it's their decision.
Right.
Now, I've had clients that are just for whatever reason, don't want to listen to me. And I say, look, hey, you need to go this, take this course of action. Mm-hmm. And they're like, no. And I tell them again, hey, emphatically, you need to take this course of action.
With an excited utterance.
Yeah. And they're like, no, I don't want to. And I said, okay, well, let me tell you what.
Sign this piece of paper.
Here's what I'm going to do. You're going to sign this piece of paper that says, I advise you to do this, and you are not following my instructions, and you're going to hold me harmless for anything else that happens because of it.
Okay.
And they'll sign it, and I'll say, all right, what do you want to do? Do you got my 15 bananas? I'm like, whatever. Hey, it's your show. I'm just here. Do you know what I mean? It's like, yeah. Oh, whatever. You're the lawyer, not
all right.
me.
That's all right. You paid me my fee. You've been warned. Whatever you want is yours.
Yeah.
It's your life or lack thereof.
And I'm not going to be too conceited about what happens, but oftentimes it's not good for
him. I won't be sorry.
Yeah. So I think that attorney probably could have continued with that case and just done that course of action and said, hey, I advise you to do this. You don't want to do it. That's fine. I think maybe it was going to be something that was going to be kind of a complicated trial possibly, or something that the attorney didn't want to do. And they're like, yeah, not going to do this. Mm-hmm. let's put somebody else on this one. So, and that might be my kind of knowledge of the local community as well too. I don't know.
Yeah, I just know what I read in the paper.
Yeah. I'm a little reluctant to go into more detail than that.
Yeah, I would be too.
I probably already went into too much. You may need to edit that out.
Yeah, we'll see. See how long it is. See if we need to save the time.
Cut that out. So
Cut it out. It's not like you're on Full House.
Now, one other thing that is kind of in the same vein as these is what's called a protective order. Now, a protective order is generally, and I'm not talking about something like a domestic violence protective order.
Well, that's what I thought of.
Yeah, I'm not talking about that. Or I'm not talking about any kind of, like somebody stalking you and you get a protective order. I'm talking more about like a discovery protective order. And what this basically means is that if you have discovery in a case and the other party wants to get some sort of information, but you don't want to disclose that kind of information, you can file a motion for a protective order with the court and argue to them why you should not have to disclose that information. Now, during discovery, pretty much everything's fair game if it could possibly lead to any kind of discoverable evidence. But there's certain things that are trade secrets, proprietary information, things like that, that you really don't want to get out there. So you might file a motion for a protective order, or you might enter into some sort of a protective or some sort of non-disclosure agreement with the other side saying, hey, I'm going to go ahead and disclose to you this information you're requesting in discovery, but you're not going to disclose it to anybody outside of this lawsuit. And we're going to seal anything that is filed about this. Mm-hmm. So like basically if you're suing Coca-Cola over
their formula,
then basically they're going to file a protective order because
right.
they don't want that to get out. That's, mm-hmm. that's a secret formula held in the vault in Atlanta. So, but that's kind of one thing that goes hand in hand and with these different kind of confidentiality and non-disclosure and all this secretive type stuff. So I had one case where a former employer was suing his former employee was suing his former employer over some business. And basically they wanted a copy of all the different customers that the employer had. Mm-hmm. And they had started another business themselves, which was kind of in the same vein as what they were doing. And our concern was that, hey, they're going to
get that customer base, then they'll pilfer them all.
Exactly. So I filed a motion for a protective order with that, and the judge tended to agree with that. And I argued that it was also it was a trade secret as well, because that was kind of part of their trade information. So, but sometimes those protective orders can be good, and it kind of goes hand in hand with non-disclosures and covenants not to compete and all that kind of fun stuff.
Well, do you think that NDAs have proliferated more in recent years than they used to be?
Well, what do you mean by recent years?
Well, it seems like you hear a lot more about them, not just the Stormy Daniels and the Susan Dougal one, McDougal or whatever her name is, but it seems like you hear more and more about those these days.
I don't think there are more of them. I think the world has just gotten so much smaller with the internet, and information just spreads so much more quickly and drastically.
So it makes it more noticeable.
I think so. I don't think there's any more or less than there used to be. I mean, there may be. I don't know. I mean, I've been practicing. It'll be 16 years this October, and I have not noticed any kind of upward trend or downward trend or anything. So.
Well, here was a kind of theory that was put forth. This was on a television show here not too long ago. And the question was asked, why do NDAs exist at all? And they were invented to protect trade secrets. They weren't really created to silence whistleblowers, things like that, even though that may be what they're being done. So the question is, how did they become a tool to silence whistleblowers? And what can this shift be traced to? And what they're saying, well, their theory was, is that it's traced to the rise of Title VII.
Huh.
You know what Title VII is?
Mm-hmm.
It's the Workplace Discrimination Act. So because of all the things that are outlined in Title VII, it opens up employers to liability. So why not use an NDA to make that liability harder to prove? So that's what they're saying. That's what companies, a lot of times they were already having people sign a standard NDA. Now they're saying, oh, with all this stuff going on, you know, so-and-so got sued for all that money and this happened so-and-so. Let's put some things in there to protect ourselves. So they started putting that in, and that's one of the theories that's why it grew. But one of the biggest ones there was a movie that was made about it called The Insider.
Mm-hmm.
You heard of that one?
I have not.
You haven't heard of that? Well, what that was about, it was about the guy that was a vice president and a scientist for Brown and Williamson, or B&W, which was a big tobacco company. And he was hired so that he would go out and tell people that nicotine is not addictive and tobacco is not harmful. It's okay to continue to smoke and nothing will happen to you.
Seems like a legitimate job.
Well, being a vice president and a scientist, he knew that this was not a fact.
Yeah.
And he knew that the people he worked for knew this wasn't a fact. So he refused to go out and do that. So they let him know, you signed an NDA, which he hadn't really read. And in that NDA, he couldn't say anything about it. He couldn't speak to anybody about it. And his severance package was tied to this NDA as well. He couldn't even speak about what a severance package was. So part of his severance package, though, was health care. And he had a chronically ill daughter. So he has to start weighing, how much is this worth me saying what the truth is and saving all these other lives and then not having health care and my daughter suffers?
Yeah.
Well, then they got him for saying something about that, about him, his severance package being jeopardized by that. That in and of itself, mentioning that it was tied to the NDA, was a violation of the NDA.
Okay.
So they came to him with an even more forceful NDA that he had to sign that basically said he had to call them anytime anybody called him to talk, ask him anything about tobacco or anything like that. They were able to go with him. Were he to go anywhere to talk to anybody about this, had to allow representatives with him and stuff. And he also began to notice people were following him around and stuff like that. So it really got bad.
So, I wonder if they had him sign or gave him any more consideration when he signed that new one.
I think the only consideration was you get to keep your severance package. Otherwise, you're going to lose it all.
Yeah.
So I think that's kind of what they did. They basically blackmailed him. But then he finally got fed up with it to the point where he said he didn't care what happened. He couldn't go along with it anymore. So he sat down with a story with 60 Minutes and did the story and told all the stuff. Well, then the company turned around and was going to threaten to sue CBS for $200 million or whatever.
Right.
If they aired it because they had an NDA with him and he wasn't allowed to say anything. So they actually backed off from the story. And Mike Wallace was quoted as saying, you know, I said, why didn't you go ahead and go with it anyway, being the, you know, journalist that you are? And he goes, look, I don't want to end my career working in Kansas on NPR. So they backed off. Well, then it ended up that because of some technicalities that were involved in it, and just like you said, you can't sign an NDA that says you can't talk to the police. So what had happened is he had been deposed And so in that deposition, he had to tell the truth.
Yeah.
The deposition became a matter of public record, and in that public record was all the stuff that he was trying to get out. So then CBS felt like that put them in the clear enough. They went ahead and aired the story. And that's what broke. That ended up being a multi-million dollar settlement with the tobacco company and everything.
Yeah.
And so that story, if you ever want to see that, it's the insider. It's got like Al Pacino and Russell Crowe in it.
I've never seen that. When did it come out?
It's been a while.
Yeah.
It's been a while. Early 2000s, maybe.
Oh. I was busy in law school.
Well, that might be it. But it was a very interesting story. And, you know, and that's what the guy said. He said, look, I had to look at the fact that by breaking this, it was going to change my life. How many people want to take on that burden to do the right thing, do something that is going to completely change your life from then on? So that's what he had to weigh and what that was worth to him and his family and everything else. But it all worked out in the end. He got out of his NDA, and they couldn't do anything to him, and they had to pay him his severance package and his benefits and everything else. But he spent a lot of torturous years to get to that.
Yeah, I'm surprised that when he had to give that deposition that tobacco companies didn't hire an attorney for him and stipulate that he'd give a deposition, but it had to be under seal and all that. Mm-hmm. If I was a evil attorney like that, that's what I would do.
Yeah. Well, I imagine that's all that Big Tobacco had was evil attorneys. So
I don't know.
Isn't that what you'd hire? Go out and hire me another evil attorney. We had one leave.
He shaved his mustache off. He's no good anymore.
Well, get him. We'll sign another NDA.
He over-twirled the cues on his mustache. He's no good anymore. They all fell out.
But the other thing, and I had no idea this was a thing. Apparently, famous people have the need for NDAs to cover up their hookups. I didn't know that this happened. I didn't know this was a thing. But these are some of the famous people that have a regular NDA that they carry around, or their bodyguards or their agents or whatever. So if they meet somebody and they decide they want to spend the night with them, they make this person sign these things so that they don't have anybody go out and talk about them publicly afterwards.
I will let you touch my bum if you sign this.
That's right. That's basically what they're saying. Taylor Swift. Now, she writes about every breakup she's ever had.
Yeah.
You know, she writes songs about it. But yet, if you get into her personal life, you have to sign a contract.
Oh, wait a second.
States
here.
That you won't chat about any of the goings on in their boudoir.
How do you know this information?
Well, because it was in the article I read. I don't know Taylor Swift.
Well, was it on the internet?
Yeah. Everything on the internet is correct. I found it in several sources. It wasn't just one.
Oh, okay. Well, then it's got to be true then if you saw it on multiple places in the internet.
That's right. The okay. Biebs. Justin Bieber. He has one for sleeping with groupies so that none of the groupies will talk about it.
All right.
But even though all the stories get out anyway, but they figured that he must own stock in Kinko's to run off all those NDAs because he's constantly running around with all those groups.
Okay, hold on. Before we go into any more of these celebrity hookup NDAs, We have no independent research about these. Can neither confirm or deny that they exist.
Oh, yeah. I saw three different articles listed the same people.
Okay. Well, maybe they just cut and pasted that information from different things. So basically, this is information that is publicly available on the internet. We're not trying to say it exists. So please.
Well, I mean, they don't come to me. I don't have copies of them or anything.
Yeah. So Taylor Swift, Justin Bieber, if you're listening, don't sue us.
I don't think Taylor Swift and Justin Bieber listen.
You never know.
Zuckerberg doesn't. We figured that out. He didn't even hear my rap or anything. Jennifer Lopez said that when he got back together, when she got back together with her on-again, off-again dancer boyfriend, Casper Smart, that she made him sign an NDA before they could be back on.
It's very
Charlie
sweet.
Sheen. There's a guy that needs one. But he said back in his Tiger Blood phase that he was known to give out non-disclosure agreements to all of the women that he slept with, and if anyone broke it, they'd be hit with a fine to the tune of $100,000. So there it was. That one spelled it out. If you talked about it, it's $100,000.
I'm sure that's extremely enforceable.
Miley Cyrus, the old wrecking ball queen. She wants to know that if she wants to hook up with a hunky piece of man, that she has one of her assistants actually sit down and do an interview with him and see if they meet certain requirements, and then have them sign an agreement that they won't talk about anything afterwards.
Certain requirements?
Yeah. I don't know what they are. They didn't go into specifics.
I'm glad.
But it's evidently a lengthy interview process. It's not just, you know.
It's lengthy, huh?
Yeah, it's lengthy.
Goes to great ends.
Drake. Drake does that. Not only that, Drake, he takes the partner's cell phone, and they take a picture of their photo ID to have on file there so that they can find this person in case they were to violate the NDA. Now, these are specifics. You can't make this stuff up. This must be true. And he had to start that because one person allegedly before he started having them sign this, kind of spoke too freely about some of his, shall we say, backdoor activities that were going on. So, you know, he didn't like that getting out.
Okay.
Hey, I just read them like I see them. Britney Spears. But she had a lot of people talk about her for a long time, so she had to finally, she smartened up like all the others and took a tip from Justin Bieber and started having NDAs going out there. Chris Brown, which, can you think of a guy who needs them more?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, sign this or I'm going to beat you up, or sign this before I beat you up, and then you can't tell people I beat you up. Maybe that's why Rihanna never said anything. I don't know. Maybe she signed one, couldn't say nothing. Ben Affleck, that poor guy, he's back in rehab. He had them, but there was one of his that essentially did him no good. He had one with the nanny that he originally got caught with that caused the breakup with Jennifer Garner. But the paparazzi caught him doing it, so the NDA didn't matter because they already had proof of it. They didn't need her to talk. So that did him no good. Here's another famous one I thought was strange that was using this. This was like, this guy was a pioneer in using them. Bill Cosby.
Ugh.
Some of these women, after they would have these liaisons with him at his house, he would try to get them to sign NDAs afterwards or something so that they couldn't come back and sue him later or bring up charges.
I feel like I need a shower after listening to that.
Well, I mean, too, but I didn't know. I mean, the only thing that I've ever heard anything like that before, I remember when I was younger and Van Halen, the original singer, David Lee Roth, not mm-hmm. Sammy Hagar, but David Lee Roth. I remember them talking about him having paternity insurance so that, because he was very prolific apparently, and he didn't want to have to pay for all these children that he left around the world. So he bought paternity insurance that would pay his
child support.
Yeah. So that's the only thing I've ever heard like that. But these people carry around NDAs and have bodyguard stuff that have them. So you want to hook up with them? Okay, here, sign here. You can't talk about it. Here's the rules. Take a copy with you.
I'm no prude. I'm just prudent.
That's right. That's how it'd be their motto. You should be the lawyer for the stars and do that. Print it all up. And that's what you have at the top of each one. I'm no prude. I'm just prudent.
I don't know that I could draw up anti-copulation contracts all day.
No, it's not anti. It's for it. You just can't talk about it.
Talk about putting your foot in your mouth.
Well, no, I better not go there. It's not the foot we're worried about.
Well, that's good to bring us to
Legal Breeze.
Legal Breeze is the part of the show where I talk about different legal terms we discussed, and I asked Tommy if he can remember what they were.
Well, hopefully, but after this last go-round, I'm not sure. I'm thinking about all these NDAs I missed out on.
So what does NDA stand for?
Non-disclosure agreement.
That's right. And what are the different kinds of non-disclosure agreements as far as like the basic kinds between the parties?
There's the one where it's like unilateral.
Right.
And there's a, well, I don't know if mutual is the right one, but it's where both parties agree to not discuss the other ones, like in a merger or something.
Bilateral.
I had a bilateral hernia operation once. Is that about the same thing?
Didn't you sign an NDA about that?
No.
Okay.
That's my own record, so HIPAA won't get it.
Check. If you're playing court-appointed bingo, go ahead and check off Tommy talking about HIPAA. Okay. What do we have next? There's one more kind.
That's the kind for a multi-party type one where there's a bunch of people. It's like a gang NDA.
Multilateral.
Yeah, that's right.
That's right. Now, what is it that you can file for in Discovery to kind of limit what the other side can get access to.
It is a protection order.
That's right. A motion for a protection order. And the court might order that and say, hey, you don't have to disclose this kind of information. What kind of document goes hand in hand with NDAs?
A non-compete.
That's right. A covenant not to compete. Those are generally found a lot of times in your employment contracts, and they kind of are just different clauses that are in there. Now,
Santa Claus.
The same.
And Commerce Clause.
Now, I have one term, which I threw it out there earlier.
Uh-oh.
You said it, but you didn't ask what it was, which was may have been a major mistake.
Oh, no.
I said a contract was void ab initio. What does that mean?
Ab initio?
Yeah.
Out of hand.
What?
Out of hand.
No. From the beginning.
Ab initio. That's what I meant. Out of hand. Right from the beginning.
What?
And you ever heard that? It's just dismissed out of hand. Isn't that how it's
that saying? It's not a saying.
Right at the beginning, it's dismissed out of hand.
Yeah, so basically it's as if the
contract... Right out of the gate.
Void ab initio means it's as if the contract never existed. It was just... It just didn't happen.
It sounds more like a song from Evita or something like that. Oh, ab initio. I don't know. Something like that. I can't remember. I
actually never saw Evita.
Well, I didn't either, but it sounded like one to be from there.
Thanks to everybody for listening, and thanks to MCRB for use of their song, Doctor, Lawyer, Indian Chief.
And thanks to the McElroy Stable of Podcasts for the use of their recording studio. Their podcasts include Mabim Bam, Sawbones, and Still Buffering, as well as many other fine offerings. And please, take the time to rate and review us on iTunes, especially if you liked us. If you didn't, well, then not so much.
You're not supposed to say that.
You always edit that out, though, right?
Usually.
Good.
This has been Court Appointed. I'm Mike Meadows, your co-host. I'm a lawyer and a dude.
And I'm your other co-host, Tommy Smurf. And I'm just a dude.
Thanks for listening.